Hello, welcome to Gist Naija podcast, bringing you live of everything that is happening in Naija at the moment. Well, today is a good day. It's raining outside. It's just 12:13 p.m. and we have a lot to discuss, you know, things that are happening in Naija. Well, I'm not going to waste your time today. I'll just go straight to the point and giving you just I have a friend here, my co-host is here, and we're going to be discussing about a lot of things, you know, from politics to entertainment to everything practically that is going on in Naija. So say hello.
My name is Anne. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, welcome Anne. First of all, we are going to be discussing about the president. News coming in today that he has made his first appointment. You know, he had an election back in February and new government was inaugurated in May. Well, news has it that he had made his first appointment and the president did not disappoint. He had been accused of nepotism, always appointing folks from the northern part of the country. He didn't disappoint. His first appointment was the GMD, the General Managing Director of the NNPC. Now, for those of you who don't know, the NNPC is the oil company of the country that is in charge of exporting all crude oil produce outside the country. And that's where Nigeria gets majority of its revenue from. And he has appointed Mele Kyari from the northeast part of the country, precisely from Borno State, as the new General Managing Director to replace Mike Antibaru from the north, also from Kaduna State. So, Anne, what do you have to say? Do you think, although some people are saying he's qualified, it doesn't matter where he's from, do you think it matters, considering the fact that a lot of people have been saying the president is one-sided, is always choosing people from the north? Do you think, does it make any meaning? What are you looking out for? His efficiency, or does where he's coming from, does it really matter?
Not really. I think I would go with efficiency any day, because I'm not the tribalistic type. Just I hope he knows what he's doing and he does his job right, and that's it.
So do you feel people who are saying that the president is nepotistic and he's appointing people only from his region, he's not running an all-inclusive government, do you think they have a point?
They do. They have a point. I think there is nepotism in this whole thing. But if you must practice nepotism, find somebody in your region that knows the job. That's my point.
Okay. So what do you think? Well, let's just say this is the president's first appointment. There are still more appointments to come. He has not chosen his cabinet members already. So let's go on to the next one. So during the inauguration, Obasanjo and a lot of other ex-presidents were absent. Now, the special advisor to the president, Garba Shehu, was on the TV today saying that Obasanjo owes Nigeria an apology for not attending the inauguration ceremony and the Democracy Day celebration on June 12th. Do you think Obasanjo owes Nigeria an apology? Do you think it's right for a special advisor to the president to demand an apology from Obasanjo for, you know, ignoring the invitation of President Muhammadu Buhari?
I think that is wrong on all levels. You can't tell a man how to spend his time. It's his choice. Why, if he wants to go, if he doesn't want to go, if he wants to give you an excuse, if he doesn't want to give you an excuse, that's his damn choice.
Well, Obasanjo is yet to reply Garba Shehu or the presidency. So as we wait for that. And you know, something just came in this morning. It was trickling in from yesterday that Otedola has sold Fort Oil. He has sold his stake in Fort Oil. He is no longer the CEO. He doesn't own Fort Oil anymore. And that's what has been trending on Twitter, with people having mixed feelings. Some say he made the right choice, some say he made the wrong choice. What do you think? Do you think nobody saw it coming? You know, it just came out from nowhere. So what do you think? I don't know.
I think there isn't a better time to dive into energy. Like now, this is the time, and he has the resources, so he decided to pull it all together and head to the future, because energy is the future.
So he sold his petroleum company and invested in energy.
Yes.
In LNG, liquefied natural gas, or where?
As an energy company, of course, different sources of energy. They work on different sources of energy, and this is the right time. There isn't a better time, because the world is moving, and oil will still be used, but the usage is reducing drastically day by day. There's electric cars, and I just saw one in Lekki the other day.
You saw a Tesla in Lekki?
I did see a Tesla in Lekki, and I was like, oh my God, that's a Tesla. And it's coming. The change is coming. And it's always good to tap into something early before it's all blown up.
Well, people are moving away from, you know, crude oil. People are moving away from fuel, you know.
Yeah, they should, before it blows up in your face. Not literally, though, but you get the point.
So I think people are saying, you know, made the right move. And, you know, a 300-level student committed in Uniben, committed suicide. I don't know. Are we raising emotionally weak people these days? Because, hey, my boyfriend broke my heart. Next thing, I'm popping Sniper like it's champagne. So NAFDAC has banned this public distribution, like the retail distribution of Sniper. So Sniper is a pesticide and insecticide, and a lot of people have been using it to commit suicide in Nigeria. So the body, like the FDA, like you have in America, so the NAFDAC in Nigeria has banned the public sale of Sniper. Do you think that's going to solve the problem?
I did see that.
If they reduce, like, the stuff, because India has done it before. India had to reduce the sale of pesticide and insecticide. Like, they had to monitor it, because a lot of people use, you know, pesticides to commit suicide, and it helped to reduce it to a certain rate because it wasn't readily available. Sniper is something you can just walk into a store and say, oh, take Sniper, and nobody actually knows what you're going to use it for. You know, but there are other chemical substances that somebody could use. So, but do you see this reducing the rate of suicide in the country? Because we've seen people jumping into the lagoon from Third Mainland Bridge. That's another way to suicide. You know, the other one that happened, the guy hanged himself. I know when I was in the university, my neighbor, she drank this, there's this powdery substance that they use in killing cockroaches. So she put it inside water, mixed it, and drank it. But God be praised, they were able to pump her stomach, pressure the hospital, pump her stomach before things got ugly. So, but do you see the ban on Sniper? Do you see it making any difference on?
I don't think it will make much difference. My reasons being, that is not the root cause of suicide. Suicide. This matter needs to be uprooted from the root, and the root is the economy. The economy is bad. People are hungry. People are losing their jobs,
and people are not. There's no hope.
No hope. People are losing their jobs. People are losing things that they worked for all their lives. They can't provide for their family. They can't provide for themselves. So I don't think removing Sniper from the supermarket counter or something like that is the point.
But a lot of people, and meanwhile, a lot of people are of the opinion that Nigeria had it worse than this, and you know, and most of the people committing this suicide, they are not, like, it's the youth, people who are not directly responsible for themselves financially. And when you look at the cases of suicide, it's coming in from relationship gone sour. not necessarily most of the suicide, because it was not as a result of money issues. I'm not saying that's not being a problem. That is being a problem. But, you know, people are saying that people have got it worse than this, but they didn't say suicide as the way out. Like, people are just emotionally weak these days, you know, for reasons, you know, they don't know. But because the last two suicides that has happened was based on failed relationships.
I haven't finished making my point. Economy is one of the points. Another point I'm trying to make is mental health. Mental health. There is no shrink in Nigeria. Nobody opens an office and be like, oh, I'm here, come see me and pay me to take care of you mentally. The only mental offices that are in Nigeria are actually psychiatric homes.
And people believe that is for people that,
yes, and nobody wants their friends or somebody to see them walking into a psychiatric home.
We don't have psychologists that are saying, oh, come and talk to me, and just want to listen. You know, most times it's not about giving advice or telling people how to solve their problem. It's just to listen to them.
Yes, that's without judging them. You know that.
And you know, people have this stuff, a lot of things going on,
yes,
in their mind.
And they can't talk to anybody. That's just it. And
a lot of things they don't want to share with them. People that they know.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Things that they don't want to share with people that they know. Well,
and all that bottled up within them is like when you shake coke and then you try to oof and maybe you pop something and one day it's just going to
explode everywhere.
Thank you. One day
they
explode.
And finally, this one got me laughing. Did you watch the video of the little girl who came in from Dubai and was crying that she didn't want to stay in Nigeria anymore because there was no electricity, and she was like really crying profusely that she wants to go back to Dubai, telling her mom, I don't want to go home, there's no electricity. The mom promised her at the door and said, okay, go in, we'll put on the generator for you. She goes, and even if the generator is on, this girl, I think she's about 5 years old, practically breaks down and starts crying profusely. I don't want to be here, there is no electricity.
I felt the same way when I went to Dubai, and I wasn't even a kid. I had gone to Dubai, had this awesome 2 weeks, and then on my way back,
it just dawned on you that
I had this strong hatred for Nigeria suddenly. As in this passionate hatred just came out from nowhere once I just stepped in the airport. The escalators wasn't working. There wasn't light in the airport. You wouldn't believe it. No light.
There was no electricity.
Yes, and then I was so absent-minded. I was still in the bubble wrap of my Dubai trip. And then I stood there in the escalator. I was so upset-minded. I did. There was no light. And I was waiting for the escalator to go down. And then I stood and I looked around. I was like, oh my god. Oh my god, this escalator is not moving. And then I realized that there was actually no light. And then this hatred just came from nowhere. And I wish I could afford to stay in Dubai for the rest of my life. So I understand her.
Oh wow. You can imagine. Well, that's one of the perks, disadvantages of being a Nigerian and living in Nigeria. The lack of electricity is one thing that drives people crazy. The noise of generators.
Yeah, and to think that other countries have gotten this right since, I don't know, 16 something or 17 something.
And Nigeria,
we are in 2019, we are still struggling.
We are still struggling to get the electricity right. Oh, well, thank you. That will be all for Gist Niger today. We hope you tune in to our next podcast. Thank you for watching. Please share to your friends if you've watched this podcast. Every positive response will be highly, highly appreciated. Thank
negative
you
ones
very
too.
Much. Okay, we negative. Take yeah, we take criticisms too. Negative ones too. I appreciate the positive ones. Keeps me going. Well, negative ones help us make some corrections.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Till next time, we'll see you another time. Bye.